Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. The next time you're headed down to Walt Disney World, the last thing you want to do is stand in line all day. That's where a touringplans.com subscription is going to be your best friend. It's going to get you access to over 140 premium touring plans, as well as access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which will give you up-to-the-date wait times and more to make your Disney vacation that much more magical. Check out our friends over at www.touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 263 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And it's Monday, and we have a magical show for you today because we are going to talk some Walt Disney World wedding talk. And I know that all the ladies are excited. And you know what? All the guys that listen to the show, it's just good to know this stuff. It's good to know all these things because you never know. You know, it could happen to you. So, joining me today, we have twin sisters, and I didn't know they were twins until just a second ago. We have Allison and Sam joining us from Canada. So, how's it going, ladies?
Great. Excellent.
I am so glad to have you here. And actually, Allison contacted me for an idea to do a podcast, and so here we are, and we're actually talking about Allison's twin sister's wedding, which was a great big wedding down at Walt Disney World. And so I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking about that today. And as well, we have some other things that happened kind of outside of the wedding that were really unique experiences down at Walt Disney World. So Allison, do you want to kind of set the scene for like when this happened and all that stuff?
So I guess they decided to get married at Disney, last December, a year ago December, thereabouts, when they got engaged. And from there, we were kind of like, well, what do we do? It's a good idea. So we started with the mom's panel and asked a couple of people different questions and really made a connection with Doug, and then proceeded to bombard him with questions. I think he sent me an email saying at last count we'd sent him something like 27 or 8 questions between the two of us. So he became a huge part in planning the wedding and a couple other things that we did during the week. And from there, he thought it was really interesting that the wedding was something that he'd helped with so much, and that the mom's panel had helped with so much. So he got in touch with Laura Spencer and told her about it. And she got in touch with Sam and asked if she could film the whole thing for a mom's panel video. So we ended up with a camera crew following us through our crazy Disney World wedding weekend.
That sounds awesome. You know, we were talking before we started recording. You know, you kind of, Sam, I guess you guys kind of had to feel a little bit like rock stars there, or, you know, like you had some paparazzi just following you everywhere you went.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everywhere we go, we've got this camera crew following us. Everybody else is looking at us going, who are those people with the camera crew? I mean, why are you sitting there in the Garden View tea room with a bunch of cameras stuffed in your faces?
That's
why
cool.
Why are you having that private dessert party with all those cameras over there?
Exactly. And, you know, if Disney's following you around to shoot video, you know, they're going to give you the best, I would imagine. So I could imagine there's some advantages to having them with you.
There is. In fact, that dessert party that I mentioned is one of those advantages. It was a thank you from the mom's panel for letting them be involved in our weekend. They threw us a dessert party 2 days before the wedding.
Oh, that is so cool to hear. And, you know, you're mentioning the mom's panel, and they've been such a great friend of our show. And I think that, you know, they're a great resource when it comes to trip planning because they're just regular folks that have a huge passion for Disney. They're sharing their firsthand experiences, and they'll answer anything you have out there. I mean, they get asked all kinds of questions. But the thing that I kind of found funny was that you have this Disney mom's panel that's consisted mostly of women. And then you guys had Doug kind of helping you plan your wedding, which I thought was a little bit ironic.
It was, he's the biggest foodie that I found on the panel, and it was a lot of, you know, we're planning the rehearsal dinner and we were thinking, you know, around this area, you know, these are the restaurants we're thinking of. What do you think of each of them? You know, where would you go? So that's kind of where he really came into play, a lot of the food questions. And then Allison was setting up a father-daughter day with our dad for while we were down there. So he was, at that point, the dad on the panel. So she went, well, why would I go to anybody else for my father-daughter day?
Awesome.
Let's ask Doug some questions.
He's a great guy, and he is just full of Disney knowledge. I've asked him questions myself, and he's a fountain of knowledge when it comes to anything Disney. So you had the right person helping you out there. That sounds like a great a helper there.
It was awesome. I mean, the hardest part for me was not having been able to eat at a lot of the restaurants and wanting to plan these big dinners for a whole group of people, and I've never tried the food, so I want to make sure that it's going to be an experience that we're all going to enjoy. And he was awesome with helping with that.
Yeah, because it is a totally different thing when you're planning a big dinner, you know, for a huge crowd rather than just, you know, dinner for two or four, because there's a whole lot more involved.
Yeah, I think our biggest reservation was for 16, and we had another couple for 10 of us, so.
Wow, that's awesome. And I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, but you were down there for 22 days on this trip, right?
Yes, we got there a couple days before the wedding and stayed for more than 2 weeks after the wedding. And just, when you get married at Disney World, this is not something everybody knows. You get an annual pass. So we didn't have to worry about how many days we were planning on being in the parks. If we wanted to hit the park in the morning, we hit the park in the morning. If we wanted to go back, we went back. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't feel pressured that we had to get a whole day in there because we had those annual passes and we could go in as many days as we wanted. So
yeah,
it was great to be able to go at a little bit of a slower pace than you normally do on that, you know, 1 week Disney vacation. I got to cram it all in there.
Absolutely. I think everybody's picking themselves up off the floor because we all dream of going down that long and being able to, you know, really slow down and enjoy the magic of Walt Disney World at the pace where you could really just go so slow and take everything in. But I think that's a great point that you do get that annual pass when you have your wedding package down at Disney. And that's something that you could take advantage of, you know, immediately following the wedding or possibly maybe to come back 6 months later and do something like that.
Yeah, especially, I mean, if you're maybe a little bit closer than we are, yeah, going back for another trip is what a lot of people, I mean, they're using that annual pass. That's the reason that they're really enjoying it, is that they can go back. I mean, we're a couple four-hour flights away, depending on how you get there, so we may not be able to get back to use them, so we wanted to get as much as we could out of them that first trip.
Definitely.
We were thinking 2 weeks at first and ended up looking at each other and going, let's take another one.
I love that. That is too cool. Man, I'm dreaming of doing that someday. And that would be the way to see Disney. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm still jealous because I only got to be there for 2 weeks. So
still.
I just worked a 60-hour week while they came back and was like, huh? Well, I was gone? Okay.
Exactly. I mean, but 2 weeks isn't bad. You got to admit, 2 weeks is still pretty good.
2 weeks is good. You know, when you only get down there every couple of years, it's nice to do it for 2 weeks.
Very cool. Well, let's talk about some of the events that led up to the wedding. You know, you guys get down there, and I've worked in the wedding business here in St. Louis because my dad has a wedding type business where we're in the industry, and I know there's a lot that goes on the days before a wedding, but I can imagine when you're at a place like Walt Disney World, it could be less stressful because they're kind of taking care of everything for you, or maybe a little more stressful because you have folks flying in and stuff like that. So, you know, what was it like those few days before, and what kind of things did you do?
It was pretty stress-free. I mean, we did the escape wedding, so just the smaller package. There were only 16 of us total down there, and mostly, like, 12 was the family. So it was, we arrived with my parents on the same day, on a Thursday, and we were getting married on the Monday. And then my husband's family came in on Friday, and then the rest of the guests came in Saturday. So we knew kind of, and they were all coming in together at the same time, so it was pretty easy. It was pretty stress-free. And Disney had taken care of everything with the wedding. I mean, I had it kind of planned for 3 months, going, I don't even have anything to plan.
Oh, man. I think that's a big plus, though, of having a Disney wedding, because I know that, you know, those weeks before just become, you know, just terrible because you're always watching everything when you're taking care of a wedding on your own. So that's probably a huge selling point of a destination wedding like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Not having to contact all the different vendors individually and, you know, interview them and find the right person for you, and just letting Disney do all of it was fantastic. I mean, we live across the country from most of our family, so it was either they're all going to be coming here and I'll be planning it close to home, or we may be going there and I'd be planning it long distance anyway. So being able to go to Disney, have them do a lot of the work, and be able to meet our family just in the happiest place on earth was the best way to go about it for us.
Now, growing up, was your family always a huge Disney fan? I mean, obviously you guys probably were, but I think the people that have their weddings down at Disney, it has to be really important to them and just something maybe they've grown up with and gone a lot in the past. I mean, how was it for you guys?
I mean, this is our sixth trip down. We'd gone to Disneyland a couple times, literally twice in like 2 weeks when we were four, going back and forth to Hawaii, which we recall absolutely none of. And then we went to Disney World for the first time when we were 12. Dad got an idea in his head, I guess, and bought the unofficial guide and went out and researched. And he's like, okay, we're going in October. It's the slowest month, and this is what we're going to do. And they pulled us out of school for a week in grade 7, and we went down to Disney World and have basically gone back once every 2 years since.
Very cool. That, you know, I would have assumed you would have been more. You know, I just think that folks that have their wedding down there, it's one of those things like, oh, we went there every summer, you know, since I was a year old, but
we drove a couple times, and it's a 2.5-3 day drive, or from Ottawa, it's about where we grew up, it's about a 5 or 6 hour flight, so it just wasn't something that was really convenient for us to do a ton. I know people who live there who go way more often than we did, but we traveled a ton when we were growing up. Disney was just one of the places we went, but it was one of the places we went as a family, and we all fell in love with it and have always gone back as a family since.
And it's the perfect place to go as a family. It truly is. I mean, I've grown up there with my family, and it just holds a dear place in my heart, obviously, because we're doing the show here. And I love being in the Disney community, because there's nothing better than being down at Walt Disney World with friends and family and being able to escape all the hustle and bustle of the real world.
Yeah, I mean, like, even Sam and I decided to go away together for about a week last year, and we went, well, we haven't done Disneyland since we were four. Let's do that. And two of us did a long weekend in Disneyland, basically, because Disneyland now is a lot closer for us. So,
very nice. So you're obviously huge Disney fans. I mean, because you had this big Walt Disney World trip. You went to Disneyland. So, yeah, it's the perfect place for a Disney wedding. So let's talk real quick about before the wedding happened, before the ceremony, you know, the folks get down there. You know, what kind of things do you do in the days before? Are you having any special events? Are you going, you know, maybe the guys went to play golf or something? I mean, what kind of stuff's going on?
We, on the Saturday night after everybody got there, we had dinner booked at the Rose and Crown, and I had tried to book it so that we'd be able to see the fireworks, and then the mom's panel ended up taking care of us awesomely and booked us the UK, I think it was the Lower Terrace, for the fireworks that night, and we had a dessert party there, so we ended up just doing dinner at Rose and Crown and then moving down right next door to the dessert party. And then Sunday, the boys went golfing while the girls went and did high tea at the Grand Floridian Garden View Tea Room. And then we all met back up and went to dinner at GECO, which was a fantastic restaurant that I probably wouldn't have thought of without the mom's panel and all of the great reviews that they give on there.
Well, that's great. Now, let's talk about GECO for a second, because that is one of the places that I think everybody needs to check out at some point. Obviously, it's over at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I noticed that you had your film crew with you even at your rehearsal dinner over at GECO. So how did that go?
So every time we went somewhere, they had to film, you know, establishing shots and all this stuff, and the film crew walked in and filmed an establishing shot and filmed it with... We were in a sort of center, more secluded room that had curtains beaded curtains that they could drop down and sort of close off some people from. But rather than film it with that as the backdrop, they filmed it as with all the other tables as the backdrop. And then realized that to do that, they had to get all of those strangers who were dining in the room with us to sign film waivers.
Yes.
And that maybe that wasn't the best plan. So then they filmed our establishing shot again against the backdrop. But that meant that our server, Michelle, who is fantastic, who'd just come in and done her Jumbo, welcome to GECO. GECO means the cooking place in Swahili. Speech. With her back to all those nice people, and they filmed it. She now had to go stand on the other side of the table. Well, actually, they had her film it twice, because the first time they tried to film her with her back to all those nice people, they forgot to put the film in the camera.
Oh, wonderful.
Apparently, you know, an essential part of the process. And then so then they nicely asked her if she could do it again, and she did. And then they realized that they'd blundered in having all those people in the background, so they dropped the curtains down and put Michelle on the other side of the table, and she started to do her speech again, and then she had a friend standing behind her, waving and staring, and then we moved him along, and then Michelle gave her speech for the fourth time, and at that point, when she asked if we'd ever been to GECO before, we all really wanted to say yes, but felt obligated to say no.
Oh, that's crazy.
We're like halfway through the appetizers and our drinks by now. We're like, no, not really, but, you know, ask us again in 20 minutes and we'll just have to say yes.
I wonder if Michelle knew she was going to be a movie star when she came in for her shift that night.
She did not. We were surprising servers left, right, and center. Everybody shows up and they come over to our table and we're like, oh, and this is our friendly film crew. You'll have to sign a waiver. Anybody who comes up to the table. The chef who brought out our cheese plates at the Garden View Tea Room got camera shy, and it was supposed to tell us about all of our cheeses, but forgot, dropped the plates, and ran away after signing his waiver.
Nice.
And then the server came over to say, did he tell you about your cheese plates? I'm like, no.
Oh, well. You know, that might be more than you're expecting if you're just, you know, bringing out the food. It might be a little shocking.
Yeah. So we were shocking servers left, right, and center. They're all like, where did I put my lipstick?
Right.
Why am I here? Why didn't nobody tell me this beforehand?
No kidding. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you weren't expecting that, that'd be something. But, you know, hey, now you know that they're going to be on these Moms Panel videos, they're going to be seen by millions.
Yeah,
or at least 10,000.
I asked Laura, I was like, I can talk about it, right? And she's like, yep, just don't tell them when it's going to be out, because I have no idea.
Exactly. I know exactly what she's talking about there. Totally, yeah. It's like you record something, you get it ready, and it may not be out forever. So, yeah, I totally understand what she's saying. So, let's talk quickly about the dinner at GECO. How was the food? What did everybody like there?
Fantastic. The Kalamata olive flatbread, which I didn't order because I was sharing with my husband, but his brother obligingly did, was fantastic. I had the signature, Wes had the signature filet with mac and cheese, which was awesome.
Everybody raves about that.
Yeah, I had a lamb dish, which was fantastic up until the next day when I went, lamb will never be the same again, but that's a different meal. And I don't know. We tried just about everything on the menu between all of us. We had there was shrimps on the table and some
tuna. I had tuna.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Just about everything on the menu was at our table. Most of us tried pieces of all sorts of different things. And other than a problem with some
cilantro.
Yeah, cilantro. Everything was looked wonderful. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, that it always gets consistently good reviews over at GECO. And again, I encourage everybody to give that one a shot because you're going to get some different tastes that you're not used to, at least here in the States. You know, it's not as exotic, but I don't think it's too scary for people to give a shot to. So give that one a shot.
Yeah, no, my husband's family is probably less adventurous than most, and they all enjoyed their meals there. So good for the non-adventurous, and they gave anybody who really wanted to give something new a try a great chance to do that, too.
Awesome. Well, let's take a little bit of time here and talk about the actual wedding day and all that, because I know that everybody loves hearing about a wedding, and especially a Disney wedding. So where did it take place, and how'd it go?
We were at the Yacht Club Wedding Gazebo, just in the garden there. I picked that one because it was one of those places that I could stay upstairs and walk downstairs to the wedding. And it conveniently went with my colors because we were red and white, and the awnings around it in the rose garden are all red and white stripes, so it just all worked out beautifully.
So that's good planning there. If you're matching the venue, that's very nice.
Well, there's a whole story with heart cutouts in the ring and in the wedding gazebo. We won't bore you with that one too.
But it sounds like the setting though would be beautiful there, because we know Crescent Lake's out there, and I would imagine it was just gorgeous.
It was beautiful, and even though it was high noon on a summer day, we only had about 12 seconds of rain just after the ceremony, so it was fantastic.
They said
that week was not the best week weather-wise. The whole week it had poured for at least an hour every single day, usually later in the afternoon, though, but we were a little concerned. And that morning, we woke up to a drizzly morning, but it cleared off beautifully. It was beautiful and sunny, which was not so good later, but, I mean, it's August. It's going to be hot no matter what, so.
No doubt.
There wasn't even a cloud in the sky during the wedding, so.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, how does the wedding day go, though? What time do you start to get going? I guess somebody comes from Disney and, you know, starts to walk you through the process and get your husband ready, you know, and all the guys and all that stuff. I mean, how does it, as far as the logistics of getting everybody in the right place and everybody doing the right stuff, how does that happen?
Well, they do include a limo with the package, but we weren't using that because I was right upstairs, and actually we had kicked the groom out. He was staying actually at our parents' villa. Both sets of parents were staying off property. I worked for a hotel company, and I was able to get them a villa at a hot rate for my hotel. So the parents were staying off-site, but we were on-site. So Allison and I stayed the night at the yacht club the night before and had hair and makeup arriving at 8 a.m. to do our very, very long hair. for the noon wedding, and then we were ready by about 11. The flowers were there just before 11. Cameras were in our faces by 10:30. both our still photographer who I'd hired and our friendly camera crew from the rest of the weekend.
Wow.
We won't even tell you where they put the mic pack for Sam to mic her for the wedding. Yeah. There were people up my dress, and I didn't know them. It's okay, though.
Yeah, it's like
Disney. We're all friendly. There was a mic pack, yes, just strapped to my thigh while we did the wedding prep, did the wedding video, so they could hear everything. They didn't. I don't know why they didn't mic the groom. They mic'd me instead.
Very nice. You know, he's in a tuxedo and has 18 pockets.
Yeah, he's got tons of pockets, and I've got a dress. And I'm like, do you think we're gonna fit the mic in there? I'm like, I don't know where, but sure, try it out. They wrapped a tensor around her thigh and strapped the mic pack there with it. So
that's crazy.
It worked. And then so as she's coming out of the hotel, she's like, the mic pack's slipping. And so the sound girl hears this and comes running across the boardwalk area out behind the hotel to come fix the mic pack before she walks down the aisle. And I had the interesting thought of, now how does she know that? Oh, right. Sound people. I'm wearing a mic.
Yeah, that's right. They're on it in a heartbeat. They're more worried about their microphone than anything else, I'll tell you, because they're not cheap.
Yeah. but, I mean, so in the lobby we met Ron, who was marrying us, and Amy, our planner, and Ron ran through the ceremony with us. We had done a stage first look in the hotel lobby before the wedding, so that we were taking some pictures on the boardwalk area before the wedding as well as after. And he ran through the ceremony with us together. He would have done it separately had we not wanted to see each other before the wedding. Just to kind of, I'll say this and this, and this is the order that we'll do everything. Is that okay? Because we'd communicated with him just via email before that. And Amy kind of told us, I'll be taking, all the guests out, and then I'll come back and get Wes and put him up at the altar, and then we'll come back and get you, and we'll take our time walking down the boardwalk in those 4-inch heels so you don't get stuck. And if you do get stuck, just pause. I'll come rescue you.
See,
yeah, well, they sent me walking down by myself. So Amy's like, just if you get stuck, just give me a little wave. Sam had my dad at least. He could pull her out if she got stuck. But I didn't really have anybody to pull me out.
I was going to say, that's the stuff I would have never thought of if you get caught like that. I would never cross my mind. But it makes sense if you're on the boardwalk.
The boardwalk, there's this 2-inch wide strip that runs vertically the entire length of the boardwalk, and then all the other boards run parallel. So if you walk down the dead center of the boardwalk, 1 foot in front of the other, you're generally fine. Don't slip.
Good idea. Well, now, Samantha, you probably didn't notice this, obviously, because you were, the center of attention there at the wedding. But, Allison, did you notice that, maybe guests kind of just that weren't a part of the wedding party were kind of stopping by and seeing what was going on and kind of taking in this wedding? I mean, did that happen?
Well, where the gazebo is, the hotel curves around it on three sides, so there's a couple people out on balconies and stuff watching, but if people were going by on the boardwalk, they would just pause and kind of watch us walk by, or people were staying at a very respectful distance and way out on the boardwalk and would just pause and glance at the ceremony. But my job basically consisted of watching Samantha turn and making sure her train was fixed every time she did. Ron's like, so then we're going to turn this way, and you'll fix your train. And then she'll turn that way, and you'll fix her train. So my job was to have my eyes glued to her train. I wasn't paying too much attention either.
Very nice. Yeah, it sounds like you did a very nice job with that.
Well, I tried.
Very good.
So the only instruction, really. And then her photographer chased me backwards down the boardwalk in heels, so it was fine.
Very good. Yeah, it sounds like this is kind of dangerous. I mean, it could be a dangerous wedding at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I've heard of brides being, I mean, you have to be very careful if you're getting married either at Seabreeze Point or at the Yacht Club Gazebo with your heel heights or ability to walk in those heel heights and watch where you're walking at the same time. Well, and it having rained that morning and it taking place, other than inside the tiny gazebo itself, everything else is all on the grass. So you sink nicely into the lawn, too, and end up aerating the lawn quite a bit.
Well, good tips for our future Disney brides. I mean, that's stuff you would never think of, but now you've heard it here. So that's good stuff. Well, now you wrapped up the night that night. You had your reception dinner over at Victoria and Albert's at the chef's table. So, of course, that's probably the best meal you can have anywhere at Walt Disney World. So tell us about that.
It was fantastic. I had called, being a member of the Diz boards, I had read a lot of other brides' reviews of their weddings and had heard something about a glass slipper dessert that they can do. And I knew they did it at the Grand Floridian Convention Center, but I didn't know if they could do it at the restaurant. So I called up Victoria and Albert's and I said, I've heard about this glass slipper dessert. Is it something that's possible? And they said, well, it's normally done by convention services. We can ask. I have no idea. I said, okay. So we went through the first 7 courses of beautiful amazingness with our wine pairings and our 2 servers explaining every dish. And this Chef Scott Hummel wasn't there that evening, so Chef Amy took his place and explained every course to us as we went through. And we got to the sorbet or cheese course, and they didn't give us a choice. They just brought out the sorbet in these ice-sculpted glass slippers with a glowing ice cube underneath.
Oh, nice.
So they're flashing different colors. I had not heard back from them at all. I had no idea if it was happening. And then, for the chef's table at least, every single course is served at the same time to all the guests. They bring out enough servers that each server has 2 plates, and they serve 2 guests, and everybody gets their plates basically at the same time. So a wave of 5 servers comes in, each carrying these 2 glowing desserts, and places them in front of us. It was a pretty spectacular moment to go, oh, they could do it.
And, you know, I think that's the whole reason why people have their weddings at Disney, why people go to Disney in general, because, you know, Disney will hem and haw on some things and say, you know, we're going to try, you know, we can't guarantee this or that. But for the most part, I think that they truly do try to rise to the guest expectations and even exceed the expectations in ways like that.
It was spectacular. Every server that I spoke to after that said that they'd never seen them in person before. It's not something they'd ever done before in the restaurant. So
they
really did go above and beyond getting that for us. It was a very cool moment.
No kidding. That's so great to hear, though, when they do something like that. When it's something really unique and really special, that's really awesome.
Yeah, the meal the whole way through was just, it wasn't a meal, it was an experience. And like, I've read a couple reviews of people doing chef's tables who say, you know, if you can afford the price, don't consider it as a meal. Think of it as, like, if you go to La Nuba and go out for dinner on the same night, you're probably going to spend more doing that than you are going to do the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's. And, I mean, we were there for longer than La Nuba and dinner probably would have taken. We were there for 4 hours for dinner. Yeah, just over 4 hours. What? And it really was just an amazing experience and something to spend that much time with family around the table and talking amongst ourselves, talking with the servers. I mean, it's super relaxed in there. The guys are allowed to take off their jackets. If you want to leave to go to the washroom or to step out of your chef's table area, you have to have an escort simply because you're going through an industrial kitchen with all the fun dangers that entails, especially when wearing a wedding dress. That takes a little planning and some little adjustments from some of the kitchen staff, having to let you scoot through different areas because you don't quite fit.
Oh,
but
nice.
So like, you know, if there's something over there that you want to know what it is, just yell over and ask. There was one of the chefs who was working right behind us. His name was Matt. So like, you know, for instance, just yell out, Matt, what is that? So we did. So we did.
Well, see,
and he told us and gave us samples.
You know, I think that sounds so great, but really, I mean, it's kind of blowing my mind because I picture Victoria and Albert's as being so formal and so, not really uppity, but just, you know, the, one of the most formal places you can go to at Walt Disney World. Yet, you know, it seems like they're really welcoming and just saying, hey, just give us a holler and we'll take care of anything you need.
Yeah, I mean, they were great. The chef's table is quite a bit of a different, I mean, I've never dined in the main dining room, but from what I understand, it is a very different experience. I mean, you're getting the same food, and you're getting more more courses, but the atmosphere is quite different. You can talk with the chefs about the cooking techniques and what they're doing to the food as they're preparing the dishes, because you can see the whole kitchen, and you're welcome to yell over to see what they're doing. And the servers are more, not outspoken, but they can share more about the experience and about their experiences in the chef's table than I think they do in the main dining room.
That's cool.
So it's, we had a couple guests, because the max at chef's table is 10 people, and we had 13 for dinner. We had a couple of our guests were seated in the main dining room. There was a couple who are a family friend, and then the groom's brother's friend, she was also seated in the dining room with them, which was fun for them because they didn't know each other at all. I'm sure it was possibly a little awkward, but I don't know, I wasn't there. And then the 10 of us in the dining room, and so a couple of our guests cut out early and before the last dessert course, and our family friends came and joined us in the kitchen at the chef's table for the last dessert course. And so we got to hear a little bit about the dining room experience as well. And there it is quite formal, but once you're in the dining room, you can just relax. Chef's table, you can just relax and ask questions and just prepare to be entertained by all these fabulous people who know a ton about the fantastic food they're preparing for you.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, though, about it, because, you know, it is costly. Obviously, it's one of the more costly things you can do at Walt Disney World, but you got to look at it as more than just you're eating dinner. You know, you're getting an experience. Like you said, it's, you know, kind of like you said, like dinner and a show with Lanuba. You're right. I mean, it would probably cost about the same. And you're getting one of the most unique experiences that there is to be had on Walt Disney World property.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've dined at Cordon Bleu schools before, not in the chef's table, but so that's a little more along the lines of, like, eating in the dining room at Victoria and Albert's. And it was a fabulous experience, and doing the long set menus like that, we knew that we really enjoyed that, and that's why we wanted to try something with the chef's table where we could get more information and more of the stories. We found out, you know, that if they're dealing with a particular producer for their produce or something, if they want to switch, they have to apply to Disney to be able to switch, and the process takes over 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So, they have to be very, very sure they want to switch producers.
No kidding.
They want to switch. So just things like that. Like, I mean, when would you have ever really heard that outside of the chef's table at Victoria and Albert? So, I mean, just interesting little stories they could tell us about where different parts of the menu came from and the inspirations for them, the reasoning behind them, and just all of that information for a group that included a bunch of foodies and a couple people who either have their chef's papers or have studied cooking in school and stuff. It was just a really neat experience.
That's awesome. I mean, it really sounds like it's a special time, and it sounds like you really enjoyed it a ton. And this trip just had to have been great. I mean, from the time before the wedding to the actual wedding day to, you know, going to the chef's table to, you know, have your dinner after your wedding and everything. It just sounds awesome. But quickly, if we can, what were some of the things you remember from, you know, the couple of weeks after the wedding when you were down there? Just stuff that, you know, you're going around, you're taking your time. Was there anything that stood out that you really remember from just going around Walt Disney World in general?
We were able to do the Dining with an Imagineer for lunch at the Brown Derby, and that experience is something, again, kind of like the chef's table, all the backstories of the stuff that you've kind of always wondered about. He literally came to the lunch with about 3 pieces of paper of stuff that he was able to talk about and a mental list of the stuff he's not. And he said, ask me questions. You know, I can literally kind of read through this list, or if there's something you want to know about, ask me. If I can't tell you, well, I might make up the answer, but I'll probably just tell you I can't tell you. And, I mean, we did ask him a couple of things. Like, we'd walk through a production, or past a production building in Hollywood Studios that
says, you know, on set and that they're building a new experience for you. So I asked him about that, and he couldn't really say what they were planning on putting in there or that they're not planning currently on putting anything in there, that they're producing stuff in that building for another new experience that he couldn't tell me about. But we talked about the Fantasyland expansion and how he got into the Imagineering, because he was not an architect or a designer or an artist. He was a psychology major, and he went in through the business side of it, and I didn't know you could really be an Imagineer without being an architect or an artist. So he's basically a project manager, and so he was talking about how he used to be the project manager for all of the little projects that are going on in Hollywood Studios. He manages those, and his office is right behind the Rock and Roller Coaster. He can hear the screams from Tower of Terror.
Very nice.
He said it was a little disconcerting when he first moved into his office, but you get used to them.
Yeah, I guess you would. I mean, you're working at Walt Disney World. I mean, come on, it's not going to be, you know, your typical, like, Wall Street or something. So it's, I guess you would have to get used to things like that. But I wonder, you know, I don't know if you could get the sense from the Imagineer, but if this is, like, a highlight for him, because I would imagine being able to talk with people that are huge Disney fans, because face it, the people who are booking, you know, lunch with an Imagineer are going to be pretty high-level Disney fans. I wonder if they, you know, that's the highlight of their week, or if it's just something they have to do. How did you feel about that?
He said actually about 3 months in advance, they get the list of the dates that they're going to be doing the lunch with an Imagineer. He said if you don't sign up right away, it's gone.
That's cool.
They all like doing it. It's the highlight of their week if they get to be the one doing the lunch that day.
That's
he
cool.
said if they're not one of the first ones over at the list and signing up for the days, they won't have a day that for that, you know, next 3 months.
That's great, though, and I'm glad Disney offers something like that, because, you know, how cool is it to get to talk to the people that are actually making the decisions for the place that we love so much?
It was awesome. I've heard some about the new dinner at the Flying Fish, but the Brown Derby Luncheon is in the Bamboo Room, mm-hmm. So it's great because you don't have the echoes of all of the other diners at lunch with you. You are in a private room, so it's quite a bit quieter than most lunches at Disney, so you can really hear him talking, because it's not like he's standing up at a podium mic'd. He's sitting beside you having, well, I asked him, he said they almost never get to actually eat their lunch. They're too busy talking, but trying to eat their lunch beside you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad gig either, going to Brown Derby for lunch. You know, I could handle that.
He didn't even get his entree brought out to him. I said, do you ever actually get to eat at these things? He said, not really. I asked him to box it up.
Oh, that's too funny. So, well, before we get out of here, because we are running a little bit long, maybe each of you point out maybe one more thing that you really remember from the trip. I mean, it could be a simple thing, like something that happened at the resort, or, you know, something big that happened in the parks. I mean, you know, what's one more thing that you remember?
Well, I got to do a father-daughter day. I planned a day just for my dad and I. He usually is the one who goes golfing while the girls go shopping. So, I, you know, it becomes less of a family vacation when we all go and do our own things. So I planned a day just for him and me. He's really big into model trains, and knowing all I know about Disney World, I happen to know that Walt was too. So I booked him and I on the Magic Behind Our Steam Trains tour.
Nice.
And then I took him for lunch at the Whistling Canyon Cafe so that we could go check out the Wilderness Lodge and the Carlwood Pacific Room, where there are two of the cars from Walt's backyard train set that were big enough that you could ride on them, and a bunch of pictures of him and his backyard train set and stuff. And we did that, and then Samantha was fabulous enough to get a reservation for something like 12, or 10, I guess, for dinner at Le Cellier that night, so we capped it all off with a fabulous steak dinner.
Man, that is
pretty much the perfect day.
I'm saying that is a perfect day for somebody that likes trains and all that, because that room over at the Wilderness Lodge is incredible. I've gone in there and it's really cool. And I know that we've had folks on. Jay's a big fan of the train tour because he's really into trains and really in any kind of transportation system. And yeah, that sounds really cool. And I'll tell you that it is awesome when you start to get older, like in your family and the kids are getting older. It's really cool when you can't have the whole family together to just be able to take, like, sometimes I take just Paige and I'll go and do stuff for an afternoon or for a day. And it's really cool bonding time because you don't normally get to spend that time together. And I'd imagine that's going to be a day that you're going to cherish forever.
Yeah, I mean, having moved to what, like, now it's a two-day drive or three-day drive across the country or a five-hour flight from where my parents live, getting to see them maybe once or twice a year, getting to do things like that with them. And the day before, I actually ended up basically spending the day in Animal Kingdom with just my mom and I and our family friend, his new wife, and her daughter, who's about my age as well. We basically did a mother-daughter day, the four of us together. And just things like that where, I mean, now that we don't necessarily need to go ride every single time, although I tried. That was my goal. 22 days, I was going to try and ride every single ride at Disney World.
You could do it.
Yeah. Finding ways to experience it differently and finding ways to experience it differently with your family and to spend that time with them when you don't get to see them every day is a fabulous part of this trip that I will definitely remember for a long time.
That's awesome. And like I said, your dad, he's just going to cherish that day forever. I mean, because you took the time to look at his interests and he got to spend time with his daughter. I mean, you know, speaking as a father, there's nothing better.
I think our best moment was we had a dinner reservation at the Plaza at the Magic Kingdom. Just kind of a little throwaway reservation. We knew we were going to go see the fireworks, and I thought we might be hungry and we want to get out of the heat. And we got there early, checked in, and they said, well, we're running a little bit behind. We probably won't get you in early. And they were right. They didn't. They got us in a little bit after our reservation time, but we sat down at the table. The server took our drink orders, went away, and came back with our drinks and some bride and groom ears.
Oh, very nice.
Bride and groom ears for just a little bit of pixie dust. We were wearing our Just Married pins, but we did have a set of ears, but we didn't have them with us, so she brought us a set of ears that we were able to...
Well, and conveniently, they had the old sets of ears. Wes had the top hat, and Sam had the headband ones, and they brought them the beanie ones. So now they have both sets of Mickey Mouse ears.
We have both sets of bride and groom ears, so it was a pretty cool little gift to be brought at probably one of the lesser-known restaurants at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, people don't ever think of the Plaza, so that's cool that you got some pixie dust there. And just real quick before we get out of here, how often did you guys wear those ears? Because I know some people wear them religiously, some people just wear them on and off. I mean, how often did you guys wear them?
We... more than that night. I'm not a hat person. I cannot stand to wear a hat on my head. I wore my headband a couple of times and all the way on the flight home, but we wore our pins every day. And if one of us left the house without the pin on, ooh boy, we were going to guest relations because you needed your pin.
And like the first time someone left it, Wes left his behind, and the monorail guy yelled at him for leaving his pin behind and told him as soon as he showed up at the park, he better get his pin.
So he was on your side.
Yep. We did not walk past a cast member that did not say congratulations. I was on the phone with my sister, and I kept saying thank you in the middle of the conversation. She was like, are people congratulating you? I'm like, darn straight.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about.
Every cast member we walked past said congratulations, and that's not something that you'd get anywhere else.
No, exactly. That's what it's all about. That, you know, that you're there to celebrate, and whether you're celebrating, you know, just a regular birthday or anything else, wear those buttons because it makes you feel special.
Random guests were stopping in line for attractions and stuff. Oh, you know, when was the wedding? Oh, really? It was just yesterday or just a couple days ago? That's fabulous. You know, congratulations. Hope it's happy for you.
People stopped us in stores to tell us that they'd honeymooned there 15 years previous or 25 years previous and wishing us well.
That's right. You're in the club.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story with us because it just sounds like you had the best time. I mean, you guys this is a great, great trip. This is an unbelievable trip. And I'm sure everybody's smiling right along with you here on a Monday. And it's just great to be able to hear these stories and be able to virtually go to Walt Disney World. And you guys both took us there today. So thanks a lot, Sam and Allison. We appreciate your time today. And sounds like you just had a magical trip.
We did. Thank you. It was fantastic.
All right, and we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your work week. But don't forget that today's episode was brought to you by touringplans.com. So the next time you're headed down to Walt Disney World, even if it's for a wedding trip, you don't want to stand in lines. Even if you're there for 22 days, you don't want to stand in lines. You want to have a touringplans.com subscription. It's going to get you in all the right parks on the right days. It's going to get you access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which will get you up to the minute wait times. So check out our friends over at www.touringplans.com. Don't forget to check out our website over at www.beourguestpodcast.com, where we talk about Disney all day, every day. And we're going to be talking about this Disney wedding and maybe your experiences with Disney weddings over on the forum. So again, it's beourguestpodcast.com. Also, in between shows, don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio over at magicalmouseradio.com for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And don't forget the next Be Our Guest podcast live show will come your way this Sunday, September 19th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. And we'd love to have you calling in and joining the Be Our Guest podcast crew as we take trip planning questions, any questions you have at all, as we get ready to head down to Walt Disney World for the big Treehouse Tweet Up, which is coming up very, very soon. So again, thank you so much for downloading our show today. We hope that you have an outstanding week. We appreciate it each and every time you download the podcast and support our show. So for Sam and Allison, I'm Mike. We hope that you have a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.